listening to The Couples Guide Podcast.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Talia.
We're both licensed marriage and family therapists, and today,
like every day,
we're debunking myths and delivering truth about dating, relationships, and everything in between.
Trust us.
It's awesome.
Episode 121. Not a joke, Talia. Not a joke. This is the end.
Aww. I'm sorry.
The tears. We just, right before recording, listeners. Yeah. Like, hey, we might cry. Because this is the last episode of the Couples Guide podcast. And that's because I have chosen to step down from the podcast. Focus on other things in my world. And I told Talia, and we decided, hey, let's record a last episode, in addition to letting all of you know that this is my decision and that we're wrapping up here. Also thought it would be an appropriate time to have an episode about ending relationships. And you know, we've talked about it over other episodes about kind of when to know or when to call it, and little snippets of information there, but not fully focused on ideas that you and I have about what are, you know, some tips and tricks of how to end relationships as best as possible, tactfully, respectfully, thinking about the mental health concerns, the relationship concerns that go into that. So that's where we're at. That's why Talia is sharing some of that emotion with everyone. How are you in this moment?
Fun fact, I never used to like crying. And now I, like, love it. Not that I do it, like, as a hobby, but I'm more comfortable with it. Like, favorite hobbies. Weightlifting, crying. Using humor as a defense, for sure. I'm sad. And I think when you called me yesterday, because we had talked about, like, the direction of the podcast for a while. Like, it's been 5 years. That's a long time to have touch bases. So it's evolved for half a decade. I'm very proud. And like I told you, it's, like, the longest project I think I've worked on. And when you called, I honestly wasn't expecting that, but that's just like, I think me borrowing from your delusional optimism and your hope of like how you always see the positive. And then when you told me, I was like, I knew it was so weird because it was such a mixed emotion of like, I totally had understanding and acceptance for where you were at in it. And I was so appreciative for how long that we have done this, and you're not dying. I'm not dying. Like we're still friends. And that was your highlight, is like, I still want to be friends and focus on our friendship and still hang out. It's just that in this way, that's what's closing. And it was a very, and I was thinking to myself that night after I had put my daughter to bed, that it was like, that's how you do it. Like, it's painful. It's not a comfortable thing to say, but you were very tactful. You were very honest. You held space. Like, you did it very gracefully. So I feel like I learned a lot in that moment. I'm sad and like clicking record for the last time. It's because I look forward to this because I love our friendship, and I look forward to me seeing you, minus some vacations or me having a baby, you know, that little thing, whatever. I look forward to seeing you every 2 weeks for the last 5 years. So I think that's why it's also sad. I know cognitively that it's a good thing for you, but in my heart, it's a sad thing for me.
And it's a sad thing for me too. You know, I mentioned to you, I think a little more yesterday than on this recording, about the grief that I have and the difficulty of coming to that decision. And I think that is part of the trust that we have together, being able to share those things.
Yeah.
I think that's cool to be able to acknowledge on this recording for listeners that this can be a way, a part of an ending, of being able to still be honest and vulnerable with someone. That's not always the case, I'll have to say. That when ending a relationship, you have to keep the context of that relationship in mind, of whether you can actually like divulge some of that vulnerability. But I would say, like, one of the first things that come to mind about any relationship to me is like, however genuine and honest you can be really matters.
Yeah, definitely.
before I get into like more of the cognitive part of like the topic of how to end a relationship, I do also want to highlight the power of these last 5 years and how cool that's been. And that was actually one of the pieces that made me go, hey, I've been thinking about this for a while, putting my energies elsewhere, and doing this for 5 years, I felt like a really nice wrap up with a bow. Because, I mentioned this to you before, I can't remember our exact release date of our first episode. We could go back. It's actually still on the website if you go like through.
Yeah, it was like April or May of 2019, I think.
Yeah, exactly. From back to like when we would like actually physically get together.
Yeah, we used to. I used to drive to Ryan's house and we would record in person. Oh, I miss those days.
In my new living room back then, that was like had like mismatched like put together furniture and things like that. Just getting it off the ground. And so the kind of this feels like a good chunk of this work, and hopefully for listeners who. From the very beginning or found us recently can like kind of like appreciate or at least think about like, hey, this is what those 5 years have been for us. So with that, I thought as you were just talking and kind of mentioning some things about me ending this part of our relationship or, you know, ending our relationship with this podcast, that's like a springboard of things that can be some cool tips and tricks about how to end a relationship.
Yeah.
Again, context of like what it is, like we have a very safe relationship, and actually, I mean, it's not like this is some dramatic, oh no, we're ending our friendship. This is very much that, hey, we're not working on a project together anymore.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I've heard other podcasts break up because their friendship ends. That's probably much more traumatizing.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's not us.
so taking it with a grain of salt, like when we're trying to apply some of this to actual ending relationships, which are most commonly more painful. Certainly there's times where they end with, it's like, hey, we want to shift to friendship, and that's fine. But what are some of the common themes? And the first thing that I think about is like, there's a lot of jokes and memes out there about stuff like this, but like having as much of in-person or direct conversation matters. Like I texted you to have a phone call. Hey, can we call?
Yes.
And that was part of what I consider an important, respectful thing to do. We're still like great friends, and we were friends before this. So like, I could have easily just done a text of like, hey, by the way, like,
here's my decision.
I was thinking about this. Here's what I decided. And that would have been, I think, technically fine. But this felt like this was worthy of, you deserve more respect of an actual phone call from me.
Thank you.
So that I can really share that. And again, with the memes out there about any relationships, like, oh my God, they just like text broke up with me, or even worse, like if you're dating and they ghost, you don't even like say anything. Gosh, if you're in a long-term marriage and you text breakup, like, no, thank you. So very first thing is like, As maximum to close to in person as possible. And I get that can be really difficult. For me, there's like just some like basic logistics with us, and the severity of the breakup didn't necessarily warrant, hey, I need to come over to your house and talk to you.
Correct.
But, so I'm like, okay, well, let's have a phone call. There's just a level of respect that goes with it. And I get that that's really difficult. I think a lot of our movies and television show the pain it is to be broken up with.
Yes.
Like that's where the drama is, and it's easy to vilify the person breaking up, doing the breakup. But like, it's also really, really difficult to break up with someone, to end a relationship and take that step. I've sat with couples in my office going through that, and it's really, really hard and scary. And that's, first of all, why a lot of people avoid the face-to-face discussion of wanting to end the relationship.
Very true.
And that's why I suggest working through that discomfort and pain and respecting the other person if you're the one making that call. So, that's very specific to the context of the safety relationship, and that it's one person making that decision. A lot of times it can be a, hey, we've been working so hard, this is difficult, let's collaborate on, like, do you want to continue this relationship or not? But I just want to say, like, that's the first place I start with, is do it in person or have at least a phone call warranting the nature of the relationship.
Yeah.
Don't do the text thing. Don't hide behind that it's difficult. really sit there and own that you're making that decision, and that you're showing respect to the other person by showing up and offering a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. And like you just said, it's a conversation. I'm thinking of other, it hasn't happened often in adulthood, I would say. It's more common in like middle school, high school, college for friend breakup. Actually, one pops out from college to highlight what you're talking about, that we had been friends like all our senior year, I would say, like pretty close friends from what I thought, like share had like done a family Thanksgiving, like, you know, as close as you could be, but like, I felt good. And I went to go visit this friend for like Memorial Day, I think. So whatever year we graduated, that following fall, saw her. And then I'm typically the one in my friendships to put in the emotional effort of like, hey, like touch base. It's not that my friends aren't like, yeah, let's hang out. I'm just usually the friend that's proactive about it. And my friends are the one that are like, 100% let's plan it. They just need that like spark. So I had reached out, and at the time I was very sad, obviously, because I was blindsided by this. Like, you and I had touched base on like, if this is obviously not our friendship, it's this part of our relationship is the podcast. So I wasn't totally blindsided after like, you know, the last conversation. It's like, oh, we'll do this, this, and that. And you're like, by the way, no. I'd be like, wait, what? But she had texted and she's like, you know, after your last visit, I just feel like we don't have as many things in common anymore as we used to. And it's not a friendship I'm going to put energy into. Something to that effect. This was a long time ago. And I was like, ouch, but I appreciate you being honest, because it had felt uncomfortable trying to make really bids for a connection and be shut down, and then kind of question yourself of like, am I crazy? Like, are they do they want to see me or not? Because they're responding. Like, you don't leave the person guessing when you're direct of sending a text for the purpose of a phone call, or sending a voice memo, or putting some sort of bow or closure on it helps the person to not feel like they're going crazy. Fast forward to other friendships I've had in adulthood, way beyond college and grad school. One in particular I can think of where it felt like a close and fast friendship. And then I felt at the exact moment of whatever text we were talking about something, whatever text I sent, I was like, oh, I don't think she liked that. And I sent the vibe was off from that moment on, and evidence proved that to be true. But it was like messaging back and forth of like, hey, like, would love to see your new house. Hey, would love this. Hey, would love that. And I'd be like, oh yeah, thanks. And I'm like, you're not, like, this is not the kind of response I would expect from a friend. This is the response I would expect from somebody who's like, doesn't want to be a friend, but the words and the actions weren't matching, until it came out to be like, again, very nebulous, like therapist speak. Like, I just feel like it's moving into a more, there was no direction or clear of like, this is ending, this is beginning, or I have like the college friend, like, I don't want to pursue it because of this. Like, it was too nebulous that I have had, obviously, maybe still Freudian slip, have the resentment towards that. But now, years later, I've seen who that person has changed into and who I've changed into. We would never fucking be friends, ever. Like, we would not get along whatsoever. We would have fought. So, like, inadvertently, it was a good thing. I don't know that that person ended at the time because they saw all of that unfolding. But it definitely made it easier to be like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be friends with you today if we met anyway. We're just too different. Like, we just have two different values. So being clear with the person is actually a gift. And I bring up friendship breakups too. Obviously, that's not what ours is. Ours is like, this part of our relationship professionally is going to be, the door is closed. The episodes will still be up, by the way, for anybody listening. We're not like deleting all the episodes. That would be a lot of work to just be like, goodbye. Yeah. But that chapter for us of the book is closed, but the book is still in the library, whatever the metaphor would be. But with friendship breakups, we don't talk about them enough, because it's always romantic breakups that are portrayed in the media, and it's always the dramatic ones. And there are romantic relationships out there where it's amicable. I've actually seen it done in my office, where couples come in and they do the work, and then they realize, like, I think we've healed as much as possible. I don't see the sense of continuing when both of us are saying we want more, and we're not like unwilling to give each other more. They're just not the right fit to give what the next chapter is. So, like, there can be amicable breakups, but that's not what's often talked about. And I think this episode is going to be so helpful for people listening who are either looking at romantic parts, or they like the friendship, but they don't like maybe a hobby they do with a friend. Like, this is applicable not just if you have a podcast with your friend. This is applicable for any kind of ending.
Yeah. And I mean, I think when you mentioned about like amicable breakups, in many ways, I think this episode is what are the tips and tricks to more likely have an amicable breakup. That if you do and think about some of these things, you could probably get to that sweet spot of having an amicable breakup, which is, I think, everyone's kind of hope in a very difficult, painful moment in their lives. One of the things you're saying that I really like that leads to amicable breakups, or that is a tip and trick I think about for how to end a relationship, is that clarity of communication. A theme throughout this entire 5 years in our podcast of like, we're always talking about the importance of of one person getting very clear with themselves, their thoughts, their feelings, their reasons, so they can respectfully, softly, genuinely share with the other person and communicate well. And the way from when you say that to how I think about that as a digestible tip and trick is like, be really intentional in your communication.
And clear,
into very clear and very
not nebulous. That's the hard part when you're trying to move. That's part of this tip. That's the difficult part, and why some people are like, "Gosh, why can't they just get over it or let me move on?" Because you didn't. If you're not going to ghost, right? That's one option. Yeah. I don't recommend it. Very immature of just like letting it die on the line, like an old credit card that you don't want to close because you don't want your credit score to be affected. If you don't take that tact and you take the tact instead of directly and clearly letting the person know, like putting them on notice or informing them, stating why is important. It's like a college rejecting you. If they're like, "Oh, sorry, we just had no extra apple," or like, if they said they had no extra space or that like they gave you something specific, is it still heartbreaking, especially if you had your heart set on it? Yes. But you at least know why. And like, I remember I got rejected from Berkeley. They're like, "You didn't take this bio class in time." And that's literally the only reason. I was like, damn it. I was so mad at myself, but I was also like, they're not also giving me the option that there's anything I can do about it now. I have to move on. They were clear. They were direct. They weren't just like, "Sorry, you've been rejected." Because if you don't know why the rejection or the closure is the breakup is happening, it can be very difficult to give yourself the closure that you really are looking for when the person who's initiating it isn't clear. You go seeking and you probably have more conversations than either of you like because you're not being clear with the person. Whereas if you just rip the Band-Aid off nicely and kindly in the first conversation, just like you did with me, then I'm not going to be calling you and being like, "Hey, maybe we should like pick back up on that podcast episode." Like, you gave me all the specifics. You were very clear and thorough. I am under like no uncertain terms. I'm aware this chapter is not something that we're going to pursue. So I'm not going to keep hitting you up being like, "Hey, maybe we should record another episode." And you're going to be like, "Dang it, I should have been more clear the first time I told her," rather than if you had said like, "I'm just kind of not feeling it. Maybe we could take a little time off." And like, that was all you said. I'd be like, I would expect you to go back in then. If we're taking time off, there's going to be a time on.
Well, you're using us to something I thought about before too. Yeah. Like, you know, there's something powerful about being intentional and clear. Like, you're giving the gift of killing hope. And that might sound harsh.
No, that is the best way to put it.
Yeah. But when you're ending a relationship, it's actually such a gift to be able to communicate part, like, "Hey, this is where I'm at and this is why. And this is a firm decision for me. I'm not wishy-washy about this. And here's the reasons." And so that actually, while can be in the moment more difficult to do, and then for the person receiving it, more difficult to hear in that moment, it's such a gift to the other person to kill that hope. So they're not sitting there going, "Hey, how come? Maybe they'll change their mind." Or in that nebulous world you're talking about, be like, "Well, wait, no, wait, there wasn't like an actual direct, clear breakup. It was, I'm getting strung along that like, okay, no, this is just a little breather, a break, or something's not working. We'll figure it out." Like, if you can get into the mentality of by being intentional with yourself and then clearing your communication, you're giving the gift of killing hope to the person that you're ending the relationship with. The one thing that I would counter about what I'm saying and part of what you said about like how clear is, there's little asterisks about how to do that in a kind way. You have to use your best judgment about how honest you are.
Yes.
I think, like, jokingly in shows, like, you see things about, like, oh, they're bad in bed. And, like, you want to, I don't know if you necessarily, how much information you need to give. It depends on the relationship. Is it 20-year marriage, or is it, like, we hooked up a few times? Different balls.
Yes. Yes. Be tactful.
I'll share one from my old dating life that's, I think, funny, maybe rude, but I was actually really into them. Pretty cool, similar interests and careers, very attractive, except they had horrible breath.
Mm.
It was just, like, such a romance killer that, like, as we had gone on a couple dates and starting to, like, really get into each other and, like, kind of move to some physical level, I just went, I can't stand your breath. Now, was I going to share that with that person as to why I was no longer interested in dating them? No. But I remember grappling with, like, what is the tactful way to share, like, very clearly, kill hope, I'm not interested, versus, you know, being honest. And part of me did wonder, like, is there value in giving that feedback to someone? Like, you know, if no one's, like, been honest with them, like, hey, like, your dental hygiene, you kind of got to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm giving them a gift. I had to weigh that. And there's no right answers in a lot of that place. You have to use your own judgment, your own tact. I have in my life come to trust my tact. I think I've gotten enough feedback in my world that I generally have a good sense about it. If you're someone who maybe hasn't had that feedback or you're unsure, go when you're thinking about any relationship and what kind of feedback to give. If you're struggling with clarity, tap into some resources. Maybe it's you go run by it with your therapist and go, hey, here's what I'm grappling with. Here, I want to come to this. Bounce that off of them first. Or honestly, with this person with the bad breath, I talked to a number of my friends about it. I'm like, oh my gosh.
What do I do?
Thinking this? How do I say this? Because I knew that, like, I could have taken the easy way out, and which is ultimately what I decided, not because it was easy, but because I thought it was the most tactful. And just kind of go like, hey, I'm just not feeling it. You know, it's been nice to get to know you, but it won't be initiating any more dates. And that's kind of where I just left it. That just felt the right way. But I was thinking, like, that's also kind of the easy way. Maybe this person needs some more feedback. And in a more serious situation where it's not just about someone's dental hygiene and breath and the fact that I have a really sensitive nose, think 20-year marriage, there might be some really needed, difficult feedback. There might be some thing, hey, having to, like, say, this matters to me, here's why, and I need to stand up for myself, make sure you're hearing that, because that's the most I can help you have accountability for things, and that's that, and I need to. But it takes a little discernment. I just hope people, when we say be intentional, be clear, give the gift of killing hope, you're also considering, okay, how much information do I need to share, and how do I tactfully share it? And it's tricky.
Yeah. And if the person, I have a question for you. If the person had asked, like, had probed, would current you now share more?
No. I knew going into it, and I still stand by this. I think it's still a true thing. I was only going to give that feedback if the spark, I went on, like, one last date.
Okay.
And I said I was going to actually only give that feedback if there was a spark and I was like, that's the only reason keeping me from wanting to date again. Because what I would have done is given
that makes feedback sense.
And not ended the dating. I would have said, hey, I'm really interested.
I want to date. Yes, that makes total sense. Yeah.
But I decided, especially because this was just dating, it was a couple of dates. To me, it didn't feel like that would just do more pain and shame than actual, like, who am I to say that they needed that feedback to improve their lives? It actually came to the place of, like, I kind of felt a little like I knew what's better for them. If I was going to suggest giving them that detailed feedback, it's me suggesting I know that they could use that feedback. I wasn't in a close enough relationship to be able to call that. Now,
that's fair.
If it was a long-term partner and there was things like that going on, I mean, break up with a long-term partner just because of bad breath, there would probably also have been many discussions about, hey, I'm struggling to connect physically with you because of X, Y, or Z. Then I probably, you know, that would be a situation where I'd say, yeah, like, I really am, like, needing to make this. We've tried to work on this, and I've shared, and here is why. That spark isn't there for me. we've gotten into this place, and at this point it's going to turn into more pain and more disconnection than I think is healthy for us moving forward. So, but to your question, no, I still wouldn't. I like that I came to that line, and I knew that in that last date, that's what I was assessing. I was like really new, like, all right, this is the make or break date. Is it I share this feedback to try to promote more connection moving forward? Or do I go, nah, it's not even worth it. Like, I don't need to, like, risk hurting someone's, you know, shame moments.
Yeah, and I think if they had offered it, like, I'm trying to think of other professional dynamics that I've shifted, like doing collaboration posts or what have you. Like, sometimes the content of their account is going in a different direction than my is, so it actually wouldn't help us to collaborate anymore. Or they are not posting as frequently, or they are not, like, what we originally agreed upon can't exist anymore. It's much different than if you had dated for like 6 months and then all of a sudden the bad breath thing came up, because then it's like, that wasn't there when we, like, what's, it's more concern than it is like kind of an ick, as the kids say nowadays. Like, there's a different way to approach it when the person is also saying, like, hey, could you have given me this feedback? So I bring that, long story short, I bring that up of, like, is it because my account has started to talk about this? Because maybe they have been told that before. And then you could have said maybe yes or no. Like, if she asked, like, oh my God, is it my breath? Then maybe she could have disclosed, like, I'm actually have this medical condition. Like, who knows, right? We can't go back in time. Who knows what would have happened? But I'm a big fan of what you concept-wise brought up of, like, if it's not going to help, that one may be separate, but, like, if it's not going to help the other person to know the true thing. And we talked about this when we talked about, like, three sides to the truth, I think was our podcast episode, the first, the two-parter.
Yeah.
The person may not actually have more to give you other than, like, it's just not going to work out. Sometimes the insight and the awareness of why it didn't, just like I said with that friend who ended it, and now years later we're just, like, not even on the same page. I don't think she knew that at the time. Like, I didn't know that at the time. I'll speak for myself. I definitely couldn't have seen where that would be going for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later. So then looking at it now, I'm like, oh, that's an insight that if she had shared with me at the time, I would have had an easier time accepting that's why the friendship was over, rather than some nebulous, like, therapist speak. But getting to see what actually wouldn't have been a good reason why, or people that are dating and then they end up falling in love with the same sex and then they come out as gay or lesbian. And it's like, okay, we definitely never would have worked. Like, I can't be that for them. Sometimes you don't know the truth that the other person is asking for when you want the closure or the ending. So I think asking, like I did for you yesterday, like, hey, is it because I brought up wanting to take the podcast to the next level that spurned this for you? And, like, inadvertently, kind of, but it's not because I asked that. It's because asking that made you think, it's from what you shared more deeply about it. So I felt comfortable with the closure of it, of like, okay, this makes sense. Cause I had that in my head that it wasn't, like, my fault. It's nothing I could have done differently because I have two other podcasts. I would like the feedback so that I can then use it to better those relationships and those professional dynamics.
And actually, that example brings me to another thing I was thinking about as like an important concept for how to end a relationship, which is all these things about, you know, being direct, being intentional, being a person, it's all about having a conversation. So I think the tip, another way to, like, frame a tip and trick is to be open to having a conversation about this. You're saying, like, that was so useful for you to be able to ask me some questions.
Yes.
Because no matter what, I had thought about, like, hey, here's something I was intentional about. I wanted to be clear with you, shared what I thought would be very clear.
Yeah.
I can't anticipate what you're thinking or where you'd go with. Like,
right.
And this is a good example. I was like, oh, I didn't even think that Talia would think it's because of that part of the discussion we had earlier a few weeks ago. But great that I, you know, again, low stakes for us, but, like, the concept of when you're going into, like, especially you think a long-term relationship and you're ending it, having a, being available for a full discussion is important. Now,
yes.
Again, there's tact in it. There's judgment calls. It's difficult. Like you had asked about maybe, like, the bad breath, silly example. Like, you know, you do have to be discerning about, like, how much do you share, but the intention, or I don't want to use that term again, but, like, the space that you create by saying, here's the decision and I'm available to talk to you about it.
Yes.
One of, you know, I've been broken up with, and the the quote unquote best breakup that happened, even though it was very painful for me, was someone who gave me that respect and who was like, clear,
here's my decision.
This
yeah.
is the decision, and gave reasons. The reasons were difficult to hear, actually, not because they were super specific. She could really only say like, hey, the chemistry is not there for me anymore. And, you know, we had talked about that, but really couldn't come to like anything specific. And
yeah.
okay. But she gave me that space.
Yes.
And I know it was very difficult for her. I mean, I could see it and feel it, but she was in that vulnerable space, willing to be very firm in her decision, but also be willing to be very caring and loving of me that I was having to be confronted with. I mean, this wasn't like a surprise. We had been over a few days, like, no, this is happening. But that last time of talking, I was like, hey, I'm here and available to talk to you about it. And I think that's not available for every relationship.
True.
You know, obviously there's plenty of breakups that there's no safety there, physical or emotional.
Right,
or like
right.
shit goes down. The last thing you want to do is have that. But if we're talking about what are some ways to think about the best way to end relationships, a good marker is if you can sit and tolerate having that conversation so there can be a dialogue, not necessarily to change the decision, but to come to an understanding, to help both people process the decision. You know, and again, especially in longer term relationships, you've been doing, you know, a 5-year podcast together. If you've been in a 20-year marriage, being able to sit and talk it out together, not to change the decision, but to process it, go through the difficult pain of it together, that really helps the end be that amicable experience, as opposed to the firm boundary, I'm done, no discussion.
Right.
I mean, that can almost be like ghosting at times.
Yeah. And I think of a breakup I had, I forget how many years ago it was, a while ago. Mm-hmm. And it had come to a head and we had like argued in a way that we had never argued before. And had we both been calmer and like not probably like the anxious avoidant dance as much, it would have been a lot more amicable then. We're friends now. Like years later, we've touched base. I hang out with his, like it's a much different relationship now than it was back then. Because we've both grown, we've both changed. The parts of us that were like activating have calmed down, like simply just by age, like being in a different age of your life. And I think it was like COVID at the time. So there was a lot of things that were like unknown or like right before COVID. So there was a lot of things that were unknown. Yeah, we broke up like right when COVID was starting. So a lot was up in the air that it's like there's a level of self-understanding that you have to have to be able to sit there and to offer what you just described. And there's a level of self-understanding that the other person has to have to stomach that type of discussion, even if the decision is like, look, I've made my decision, I'm firm on the decision, happy as much as I'm able to help you contain what you can to then take to your therapist or what have you. But the reason I bring that breakup up is that like initial conversation was in my head, like, I'm like, and this is exactly why we're breaking up. Like, I felt like vindicated in a way that was like the proof. And then of course the next day it was like, hey, I had some time to think, I'm really sorry. And in my head, I'm like, my brain doesn't really work that way. And like, I don't know if I was like, I kind of painted you as like this villain over the whole night. And I don't know if I can undo that. Like I really went on it with another girls' night with my friends. And I'm like, I had PB&J and whiskey. Like it was not a good combo. I feel like, I don't know if I could like you again. And we obviously didn't end up getting back together, but at the time, that lapse, that gap in like unproductive to productive discussion, sometimes it exists for a reason, but sometimes it's like, that's what the undoing is. So if you could wait, it doesn't mean you're like lying to the person. If you can wait until you're all in on having the productive discussion, it can actually help be less damaging or create less vitriol in the meantime, because you're not waiting and lying. You're stomaching it and going, it took me some time to come to this decision. Here's my decision. I'm not budging on it. Or you could say, here's my decision. However, depending on how this discussion goes, I could be open to giving more time or what have you. Like, try to get yourself as constructed as you can before dumping it on the person or just disclosing it to the person, rather than classic 17-year-old me. I was dating this guy. This is so long ago. And I remember being like, oh my God, like he's so into me and I'm not into him. And they were like super religious. So like you were going to be married by 19. Like this was a non-negotiable. Wow. And I remember sitting there on the bed because he had like a couch bed, like a day bed thing. We were watching TV in his room. And I was, I literally was like, I can't be the last girl you ever kiss. He's like, what? And I was like, I have to break up with you. Like, I literally just couldn't hold it in. I was holding it for like 2 months. And he was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I definitely fucked that up. I wish, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. I wish I could go back and redo that breakup. He held on to the stuff I gave him, like our relationship, for a year. And dropped it off at my doorstep a year later and was like, I can't look at it anymore. And of course, being 17 in my head, I'm like, I've dated two people since you. He was a little older, but I was just like, I still feel something about that. I wish I would have handled it differently, but I was also a teenager. Like in retrospect, I give myself, it wasn't like last week, like I give myself grace, but like, yeah, it was just last week, whatever. I give myself grace for that, but I wish I had, I'm glad I sat on it for a while. So it wasn't just the first time I felt it, I jumped on it. Cause we all know in therapy, sometimes you have an urge to do something and that's not really what it is. There's a deeper thing that you have to explore. Explore the deeper reason before you actually call it the end, which is what you and I talked about off air. Mm-hmm. I recommend personally and professionally spending as much time in it or with it as you can and trying to actually do the work on it before making that decision. So it isn't a rash decision. So if you both walk away from it, you can look back and go, I know I gave it my all. And I think that's, or I know we did it for as long as we wanted to. Like I love podcasting, so I would do it forever, but I also love our friendship more than I would ever. I'm not going to force you into doing this. Like sit here every week and being like, you going to show up? You text me like, no, I already told you I want to be. Okay. I was hoping it was a lie. I was hoping it was a dream. But we use humor and we're able to move on from it. And now we can open up a whole new part of our friendship.
Yeah. And on the ending piece of what you're saying of taking time so that you can walk away having gone like, cool, we explored it. We talked about it.
Yeah.
You can feel like you did what you could. I think that goes back to that theme I think about with like being intentional. And I like how with that theme of being intentional, you're also adding in these ideas of when one person is ending the friendship, making sure that you're coming into those final discussions, having done your work, your emotional regulation. It is scary. It is hard. It is hurtful, grieving, even for the person who's choosing to end it. But making sure you do that, because that's another gift you can give to the other person. Inherently, if one person is making the unilateral decision to end the relationship, which is kind of the world we're focusing on right now on this episode, the person who's making that unilateral decision has had lots, hopefully, I guess part of the tip and trick is we're asking you to have a lot of time to sit and process it. When they share that with the other person, the other person's getting the news for the very first time. They haven't had days or weeks or months or in some cases years to think about that.
True.
So if you're the one who's had that time, make sure you've used it, and then that can give you a way to have a good way to give the end to the relationship, because you're able to support the person who's hearing that news for the first time. You can be more emotionally regulated. You can be more grounded. You can have those answers. You can be genuine. If you don't have the answer, say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, in relation to that, I hadn't thought about this, but when I think of other breakups I've gone through or other like templates for good breakups, it's oftentimes the end is not a singular conversation. It can be.
So true. It can be, but it's often not.
It's often, hey, something's not working for me. And you start there in a relationship. Say, hey, this hasn't gone. You've probably tried to work through it. And then when the end does come, it's disclosed to say, hey, this is the decision I've made. And then oftentimes the person hearing that is like, whoa, I need some time. And then you go, cool, great. Think about that and let's talk again tomorrow, the next day, later today, whatever is right for the situation and the couple, come back to it. And then you can have that discussion we were talking about earlier about coming in with intention, clarity, giving the gift of killing hope, as well as the other person sitting in the conversation together and at, you know, the questions that have come up. Can you do that? I think that's like a really nice way to think about it. All of that is based on the idea, like, remembering that if it's a one-sided ending or one person's making the final call, they've had time to process and come to peace with that decision. And it's respectful and honoring to be able to let the person getting the news have time to process it. And if they need that more time, say like, hey, cool, we can talk about this again. Let's go.
Yeah. And yeah, not, I think that's another good tip, is not having the expectation that it's all going to be solved in one conversation, especially when it's a long relationship. There's multiple layers, like we touched on. There's, I was about to say for next episode, but there's not going to be one. I'm fine. It's fine. I'm just collect myself. I have no feelings. I have no tears. I have no emotions. Goose frubba. I'm just kidding. especially like if it's a romantic relationship, when there's kids involved, you, that it's actually not ever going to be the last time you ever talk to them, unless you decide like, you're a deadbeat, get out of my life forever.
Parent.
Even still, you're gonna have to talk to them because of court or whatever else. Like, that is a unique microcosm where it's not like a couple who's two adults dating and they're like, this isn't working, break up, and then maybe you have to see each other if you run into each other out in public or have mutual friends. But like, such a different level that if you are in that position of, we don't want to be in this romantic relationship anymore, but we have this co-parenting relationship, then the key is still focusing on how to communicate effectively, how to be kind to one another, and how to hopefully see them as not a friend, like a best friend, like you and I are going to be hanging out, but a friend of like someone that you cared enough about at one point to create life together. And even if you can just have to keep it at that for the rest of your lives, at least be amicable, because it's not about the two of you anymore. Your relationship doesn't exist anymore. It's about the relationship to your child, which is parent. So it's really only focusing on parenting. And some couples kill it at co-parenting. Like, they are so good as parents. They just have too much stuff romantically, and it's healthier for everybody involved for them to just kill it at parenting. It's okay. It's sad, obviously, and it takes time, but I'm giving whoever is listening to this permission. It's okay if you can't manage at all or can't balance at all, because it's very hard work to parent and be in a romantic relationship. And honestly, not everybody can do all of it. And we have to work, and we have to this, and we're caring for our aging parents while we're like, there's so much going on that sometimes that can't be, it can't be a healthy option to have all the relationships still functioning. And if you do have kids, they have to come first. That's my view of it, obviously.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. And I see that, you know, a lot of co-parents come into couples therapy because they do need to figure out how to have a functional relationship, because they want to do it for the kids. You know, that's what makes them motivated to invest in it. And so I work with a lot of couples who are past romantic partners and now just co-parenting partners. And a lot of times, like, I'm in there with the transition. And I do think, like, we tend to commonly talk about it as a transition. If it's like, hey, we've been married, we have kids, but now we're divorcing, now we need to transition to co-parenting. And that's true. It is a big transition. And I honor that in our, in when I work with couples like that. But I also, in my sessions, and this is some of the tips and tricks to throw out to listeners, I say, but it's also really helpful to frame it as, we are ending our relationship and we are starting a new co-parenting relationship. And the reason why that's a good frame is because that leads into a really helpful discussion of, so what were the old boundaries and what are the new boundaries? And so, like, one of the most common ones that, like, everyone has is, when you're in a romantic relationship, there were certain things that you shared and asked for emotionally. That may no longer be the case. So, like, for example, this part isn't true for everyone, but, like, the concept is true for everyone. But maybe, so, hey, when you're in a romantic relationship, your primary partner, you had a rough day at work, you're really stressed out, you would reach out to them and say, oh, man, I'm so stressed out, I'm having a really bad day. Well, that may not be the norms and the boundaries you want to have when you've shifted out of that relationship into co-parenting. Because would you, if you didn't have kids and were co-parenting, would you, like, text your ex, hey, that's really the shitty day.
That's, like, the litmus test.
Like, no, that's, that's a litmus test. Like, that is not, that you've broken up. Some people do that. I don't recommend it, because that was the emotional connection you had and the role that you played in each other's lives when you were a couple. When you're no longer a couple, that's part of that severing that is so painful, is you don't have emotional support. And so when you are transitioning from married to divorced and co-parenting, I think it's really useful to have that frame of, wait, we're ending one relationship, we're starting a new one, and a way to define that so it's not mucky, it's not confusing, it's not, well, wait a second, we're still very involved in each other's lives, but like these texts are awkward or they're painful or like our conversations are muddy. Have a clear discussion. This is what I help couples with in my office and in sessions is, what are the new boundaries? Mm-hmm. Here are the needs that you have to co-parent. Mm-hmm. We're no longer focused on your relational needs, though, and the needs that come from there, like the emotional needs.
Right.
Those are now needing to be accessed individually or in the future with a new relationship.
By different people, yeah.
So let's come up with those new boundaries. Let's make that clear and explicit. So I don't know if I can summarize that into like such an easy tip and trick, but you know, the idea of reframing into ending and starting relationships, and then look at, I guess that's pretty easy to summarize.
Yeah.
Do that and then discuss the new boundaries and have a discussion about that is really helpful when ending on that style of relationship.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that was very concise.
Yeah. And with that, I think this is also now back to us in ending this episode, which is also the ending of this podcast. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Before tuning to us, I just want to tune to listeners and just say thank you to everyone who has been a fan of the show, people who've reached out to have us answer questions on the podcast or have reached out from listening to us individually. You know, some people have come and asked to be clients from the show. So just in general, I just want to say, especially since I'm the one choosing to do the step down and have instigated the ending of this, just thanks to everyone. It's been a very meaningful 5 years for me. And then to you, Talia, directly about just think about this whole journey that we've had for 5 years from both of us just kind of starting our careers and grabbing coffee, kind of talk about that and see where we're at, to the story I always love to tell. I've said it a few times on the podcast, and me just randomly in the shower thinking, hey, I think I found a co-host for this. I'm like making that thing in my hair, like shampooing my hair. And then calling you, it's like, hey, I was in the shower, I was thinking about you, about this thing. And then
totally
also
not weird was thinking about you in the shower.
Well, especially that early and like knowing you, like we're very like professional friends, like not the close friends we are now.
Yeah.
It was just kind of funny. And then and having the success, I think, of this podcast be because of our commitment to each other, our commitment to the show and this project, the consistency. It's a very special, unique thing. And honestly, one of the things that kept me going a little bit longer than I would have normally, or not normally, but longer than what my desire for doing this would be, was having a partner that I trusted, I connect with, and a partner in this project that we've done for so long.
Thank you.
What that means to me.
It's been one of the, truly one of the coolest projects I've ever worked on. I've looked forward to it every time we've recorded and all of our topics, and I am so appreciative because it's changed my perspective in a great way on a lot of topics, and it's changed the amount of knowledge I have on a lot of topics, and it's been a great source of connection for the both of us, you and I. So I am forever grateful for this 5-year chapter of our long-term friendship and relationship, and I will think back to this very fondly. And I'm glad that our episodes will still be alive because I like to go back and listen to them sometimes and recommend them to people. So thank you. And thank you truly for showing me that grace and that tact yesterday. It made something that is still sad less painful. So I really appreciate that you taught me that.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the last time, thanks so much, listeners. Take good care.
I will miss you all.